Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Alright, boom. Welcome back to another episode of Stoppage Time TV. It was only right we gave you a little special, you know. We've done a lot of live streams, we've had FTBL culture, but we thought let's get the gang together and discuss something that's close to our hearts. We all support teams in the Premier League. This is the league that we love very dearly. So we thought, let's talk about this league and things that are influential in this league. So we put a question out. I mean, it was inspired. I think it's
Asaeus, I think. Asaeus. Sorry for saying it wrong.
Could you share the tweet that he put out?
So he said the top 10 defining / changing moments in Premier League history.
So as a group, we thought, you know, we like this, but we tweaked it slightly. We're going to go with top 10 defining moments in Premier League history. Now, to put the caveat out there, this is not just about goals. This is not about, you know, so-and-so's hat trick and whatnot. Mm-hmm. This is moments that we feel created a real shift in the Premier League that can stand the test of time or be a real moment that you look back and go, I remember what happened. Mm-hmm. So we've got some honorable mentions and we've got a list and we're going to start from 10 and go all the way to number one. So mm-hmm. make sure you stay locked in. Make sure you let us know what you think. Put your own list in the comments as well. And let's get into it, man. So number 10, Mr. Kadani, would you like to bring this one to the table? Because I thought this was an amazing shot.
This was your suggestion.
Yeah.
Great shot. I think the COVID era.
Bubble era.
I know people look at it and be like, was it really that defining? But if you look at it for what it was, we never had a period where no fans in the stadium. Mm. It was literally its own little bubble period. Mm-hmm. If you like, you had players, Martial and guys Pulisic, who were performing out of their skin, Pulisic. Yeah, like we remember it as like a whole period, like Liverpool's title. Some people call it the COVID title and things like that.
Harshly
putting an asterisk on it. City's title as well. You know what I mean? That's the real one. Yeah. But it just signified like an era where the whole world stopped.
Yeah.
But some way, somehow, football still continued.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, it was a period where I was grateful for it.
Yes.
Because there was not a lot happening in the world. We were all sat at home, all had nothing to do.
No trims.
No
beards.
Doing Zoom content, looks. Looking homeless. Yeah. But the one thing we all had to look forward to was Premier League there still to lock in. So for me, I've got to say, from a fan's perspective, and I think even the players would say that was like a weird era of testing and things like that. So COVID era for me.
Defining moment doesn't have to mean happiness.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to mean joy and stuff. And that is definitely an example of a defining moment, because God willing, there'll never be another moment like that again.
Yeah.
We don't want a period where we ever have to watch football in. And like I was talking about it the other day, where I was like, what's the one season that you've forgotten everything that's already happened in it? Like, and I said, oh, the 2010-11 season, I don't really remember much what happened. Yeah. Even the Man United won the league. And most of the people, even me, I was like, to be fair, I don't even remember COVID.
Mm.
I don't even remember what happened, but that just shows how like freak of a moment it was. It was only 2 years ago, and it's like a blur, bro.
There's weird things where there's certain games that you can probably recall minute for minute.
Yeah,
like, I remember, was it the 1-0 you lot were against Sheffield, was it?
Oh my God.
There's certain moments I can just recall like that.
100%.
Because it was the COVID era. And I'm sorry.
What stands up by it as well is to the point, it said the whole world stopped. But football stopped for a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And then somehow it managed to continue. And even sort of the dynamics of hearing the feedback and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You hear players. Squeeze. That was all like.
I said, Hendo got a real PR boost.
Listen, man. I said, nice one, lad. Like, for me, it was a real moment, because if you think about the origins of football, those professional footballers had to go back to a time that where they were young. Like, listen, it's not in front of fans now. And you saw the difference it made to some players. And I don't think we'll ever see that again. So for me, that's a great shout. So number 10.
Also mental health wise.
100%.
You mentioned, kind of alluded to it, but bro, mental health, it did a lot for people's mental 100%, health. Man. Football 100%. Being back was so
100%.
Crazy. Had the whole world watching the Bundesliga at one point.
Bro, the real talk.
Don't forget.
That's how you got signed. Guys, that's how you got signed.
Never forget that.
Yeah, cool.
The crazy.
That's a good one. 10.
COVID era / bubble era Premier League football. Number 9, I think it's only right you take this one. And I'll chip in as my team had to contribute here, but you know what I'm saying?
I think this is a great nomination. I wanted it higher.
I was going to say that.
I wanted it top five.
But in all honesty, I think a Premier League defining moment is the Steven Gerrard slip. In 2014 versus Chelsea at Anfield in the 2-0 loss. Let's actually think about what that is. Let's think about what first and foremost Steven Gerrard is to the Premier League, what he is to England, and let's think about what he is to Liverpool.
Yeah.
That is a born and bred
the savior.
Scouser. I'm the one.
The Messiah.
I have to carry the Dalglish's legacies, the Graham Souness, the Ian Rush. It's me.
Yeah.
He has that club on his shoulders. And it was finally coming to the time where, oh, Man United are gone now. You know what I mean? Like, that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's his time to win it. And the whole season was built up like that, you know, like this is his moment.
Yeah.
And you'd think about the moment against Norwich when they won. Come in. We don't let this slip, boys. We don't let this slip. That felt cinematic, bro. That cameraman, he needs a raise.
I was going to say it was the angle they came in on.
It was the focus of everyone. It was like, afterwards, it felt like, wow, Liverpool, okay, you're going to do it. Even the story of Brendan Rodgers, who would have thought he's going to bring it home? And then to go into that game and for Steven Gerrard to receive a normal pass from Sacco, let it slip under his foot, and then try and get back up and still kind of slipping to then being the closest one in the net after Demba Ba slotted it. It was honestly cinema. And if you're a Liverpool fan, it's probably the worst moment for a Liverpool fan because of what Gerrard represents for them. And Gerrard said he had to flee the country. It was that bad. And as an opposing fan, I'm a United fan. After the first, like, I was kind of like, I feel sorry for this.
Bro.
What? I was like, hey, what? Gerrard, and the thing is, you know, I'm sorry. A lot of it comes down to like people saying it's a slip. I think nerves got him. That was nerves. Bro, for me, that was nerves.
Because why was he even in that position? Why was he doing-
You know, that's when he was doing the six.
The DLP, but he didn't need to be next to him.
It's a lack of focus. He was thinking about, maybe he was thinking about the next pass, but then the fact that Demba Ba all of a sudden became so clinical, it was quite funny.
One of those moments, I feel like.
You feel like the world stood still.
Yeah. It haunts you for the rest of your life. Yeah. You will, 20 years later, still be having nightmares about that. But you know when your legs are slow in dreams?
DMX slipping. And he's like, to live.
I can almost catch Demba. But it never actually happens. Yes. And literally, it's one of those nightmare scenarios.
He'll never, ever forget that. Like, he will, as you mentioned, he will live that. I remember Kolo Muani missing that chance in the World Cup final. He said, that's going to live me forever. Yeah. I'll never, ever be able to forget that. So imagine Steven Gerrard. And the fact that he ended on there zero. Gerrard did not. Steven Gerrard.
Yep.
Did not win a Premier League.
Yep.
And the moment that it was in his hands,
he let
it slip.
That's
crazy. I think that's Premier League defining.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially when you think of like errors, costly errors in the Premier League, is one of the first that comes to you.
Yeah, man. Like, bro, Gerrard defined as a player. And I know one of the defining players of an era. Yeah.
And that's the thing. And I know some Liverpool fans will say, oh, but the title wasn't lost in that exact moment.
It was
what that represented as a whole in that story. That
lost
season.
The title, man. Because Yaya said, all right,
they'll say Palace. They'll say, you know, other things.
No, but Palace, they were chasing. That's why they lost. They had to. They had to beat Palace 12-0 to match Man City on goal difference. The title was gone after that slip, and City won. I believe City won at maybe it was Newcastle or Palace themselves.
Yeah.
It was all done.
Yeah,
it was all done.
It was done.
So number 9, we have the Gerrard slip. Number 8, it's only right you intro this one as well. This one is this one's a special one because I don't know if we'll ever get anything to the magnitude of this again. And like, if you put into the context of what was happening at the time as well, some of the comments by very influential pundits at the time. What was that? Probably what season before that?
No, it's the same season.
It was the same season. He said
it,
that.
It was pretty much the same thing because United lost, I believe it was against Aston Villa,
and that's when he said it.
One of the first games exactly. of the season, yeah.
So for that to happen, especially if you put into
Alan
context,
Alan Hansen said, "You don't, you'll never win."
I'm thinking,
nah,
no, okay, yeah.
And then if you put into context of you know that football club and stuff they had previously with the Munich situation. Yeah, it's a poetic moment in not just United's history in Premier League, but
I would say number eight for me, the class of 92. I think the fact that a bunch of kids, for local lads, or maybe David Beckham wasn't so much of a local, but academy boys coming up around the same period to then be part of the era where Man United became the force, not only of English football, of world football. Talking about Phil Neville, Nicky Butt, David Beckham, Gary Neville. Even the fact that there was two brothers coming up was quite mad. Scholes and Ryan Giggs. Ryan Giggs was the first to come through. You know, I mean, he was playing from, I believe it was actually 92 or 93. The other lot started coming in 95, 96. That was David Beckham, Scholes, Gary Neville. They started coming in 95, 96, but Giggs was the first one. Giggs used to play with the first team. Then the youth team would need him to in the Worthington Cups and all these little things and milk cup and that, and bring him back, he'll rip it up. But that's how mad it was. He was going up and down. And I think even the origins of it, Fergie went to Ryan Giggs' doorstep at 14 years old and with a contract and said, okay, boom, come sign this. For him to then go on to be the greatest winner in Premier League history. Bro, these are stories. These are magical stories, bro.
Top nut players.
these are magical stories. And just the fact of what they embodied. And you look at all of them, like Giggs went on to be the greatest winner, as I mentioned. Paul Scholes is arguably the best centre midfielder the country's ever seen. David Beckham, the biggest superstar. The icon. He's probably the biggest superstar football has ever seen alongside Cristiano. Yeah. It's unreal what these guys went on to do. And the fact that they ended up all being part of that win in Barcelona against Bayern Munich in 99. It's madness, bro, that a bunch of academy lads can go together, dominate the Premier League, go to the world, go to abroad, win there as well, all play with their national teams as well. I think that's a real defining moment for me. To then, as you mentioned in the beginning, to then have as well in a first loss, you'll never win. You'll never win with kids. It was laughed at, bro. Like, Fergie's really trying to replace Paul Ince and these man with these. Mark like, Hughes, come on. Robson, you're trying to, Robson, Paul Ince, and that you're replacing with ginger 5'7" Scholes. Like, come on. Let's get real, Fergie.
For real. Wow. And for me, what stands out about it as well is if you look at the way modern football is and how you run a football club, like, this was sort of the prime example of old football. Grow from within. Local scouting before the game went international and you start looking at all of this money and stuff like this. That was the pinnacle of this is how you run a football club whilst becoming a global entity and enterprise. And it was
I will say though, honorable mention to Eric Cantona as well in that period. I think he was someone who the elder statement, and back in a period where you never really had big superstars, as you say, he was maybe the Premier League's first one coming from a Leeds team that was already winning the title, bring that title winning mentality to this young crop of players and help it kickstart, because he wasn't there for the Champions League, but I'm sure by then they'd won a couple titles with him and it's like, yo, you know what? That was almost like, as you say, Champions League moment is almost the moment to say, hey, the kids are all right, you know, they can do it themselves type of thing. York and Cole had come in and all that. So a whole different animal.
No, great shot.
100%.
Great shot.
100%.
So at number eight, the class of 92, number seven. Now this gentleman, he said, I will be there. No, Mark, he said he will be in his
will be there.
I will be there.
Top 10 list.
We will be there. Josep Guardiola. I think when you break it down, what City did in terms of preparing and everything, building this sort of castle, and then they said, listen, we're ready for you now. And nothing was the same. Word to Drake. Honestly, that man came to this league. And he's influenced.
You know when you look at your Snickers. I just pulled out Snickers from some random combat childhood.
This is like Action Man. Yeah, Joe, bro. That's how I need
that. I was getting Snickers on deck.
My whole voice, look.
know, their minimum charge shops. Yeah, just spend. How the hell do I spend? Even give me some Snickers, man. What the hell?
That is ready. But so, Josep Guardiola, the fact that everything was ready, you know, they had Robinho era, Mark Hughes and everything, and they said, come in and make us the dynasty that we want to be. And he done it, man. Was it 4 and 5 Premier Leagues, about to be 6? Like, his arrival was just this, wow, this is a serious league. And now you're looking at the Premier League where you have so many top, top, top managers. Mm-hmm. But it felt like when he came, obviously the Jose Mourinho thing and everything is mad. But with him in particular, it was just like this crowning moment, like, yes, now we're going to see it for real. And everyone always said that, can you do tiki-taka in the Premier League? Can you, you know, can you, you can't do that in the Premier League. Man came and just started wiping everyone. And it's the fact that there's been different iterations of it. I always talk about the moment where, I think it was after the second league win, when he said, we're looking of new ways to score goals. I said, what do you mean? Football's a standard game. What do you mean you're trying to find new ways? The fact that he's come and innovated and kept moving forward, his arrival is a, if you looked at the milestones of Premier League, it's this peak moment here. It's amazing.
Also very influential. We can't sleep on how much he's influenced other coaches.
Yep.
Your coach is Gary Potter. I'm sure there's some speech about him being influenced by him.
Yep.
Ten Hag.
Arteta.
Influenced by Pep. Arteta, influenced by Pep. Now every single club, you have to pass out from the back.
Yep.
Your centre backs have to split to the touchline. Your full backs have to be high.
Goalkeeper
your DM
has
to come in to get it. Goalkeeper has to be good on his feet.
Your
everything
full backs nowadays have to be inverted.
Now he's even said, all right, okay, attacking footballs is boring now. Let's have inverted. Now everyone's inverted. Yep. Melassio's playing inverted. Yep. This Zinchenko, everyone's inverted now. Yep. This stems from Pep's kind of influence. You know what I mean? So his influence on what he's done for the Premier League, undeniable.
And I think, as you said, with City, it's like, the thing, he probably would have been higher, but City had won titles and things like that prior to him coming. So maybe you could not give him all the credit for what City have done. But it's the fact that, all right, you had a winning club. You had a club that was successful. And how do you make them even better? He said Centurions, domestic trebles, like everything, and even a Champions League. Winning streaks. He's the closest that's kind of got them there.
Yeah.
And literally the winning streaks and the standard he's been able to set over 5 seasons. And when you look at it, 4 out of 5 seasons, he's won the title. The we haven't seen domination like this since Fergie days,
and
mate.
He's already, like, if we're talking about facts and stats, he's already the second most successful manager in Premier League history.
Yeah.
So,
you know what I mean?
So,
4 Premier Leagues, no one's done that. So,
that's not definitive. I don't know what is, bruv.
Josep Guardiola at number 7. Number 6, I like this one a lot. This was a moment in time for me.
I'd like him to talk about this one.
I don't. I'd rather not.
But you suggested it. It was both of us had it.
I would rather not even have this on there.
We can talk about it, but you have to give like a sermon in the middle of it. But I remember, I must be in uni them time, so I was up in Midlands anyway.
Yes.
And it was jumpy.
I was in uni. Jumpy.
was I in jail?
And it was absolutely jumpy because it was like, it started and you were like, oh, this is cute. It's never going to last. And it's like, okay, it's bubbling here. And then my man starts, you know, goals every single game. And it's like, okay. And then you start seeing, you know, this Algerian magic. It's like, okay. And then you realize, hold on, let me look at this team properly. This small little fella here is going crazy. And it's like, okay.
Do you know
what? And then you're looking at the team in the profile. You're like, you know what? The centre half are moving me a little bit, and it's like each game it kept going closer and closer and closer.
You have to announce who the actual.
No, we are, because you know we have to build it up and everything, and then eventually it will happen. If you haven't realised already, we're talking about Leicester's league win, which I don't think, in terms of feats in football, this Premier League, but in terms of feats in football, this is top 3 in sport.
Yeah.
I don't think this will ever happen again.
Even further than that season, though, bruv.
Because then they got relegated
with 6 games left, and I think Pearson just saved them.
Yep.
Then they changed to Claudio Ranieri.
Yep.
Real men.
Yeah.
As you say.
Brought in a real man.
He's a Hall of Famer.
And then Ranieri came in. Kante was there. Mahrez was there. Mm. And I remember Arsenal were leading up until Christmas. This is a beautiful part of the story that always gets forgotten.
Mm.
Most weeks led that season Arsenal. Mm. 30 of them.
Somehow Spurs were the bottlers.
Even though the closest we got was 5 points. But
Welbeck celebration.
Mm. Anyway, Arsenal were leading all the way till Christmas. And I think that was the thing. Leicester were in that top 4 mix. Mm. And everyone was just like, oh, don't worry. We've seen Hull do this for like a couple of games. We've seen Newcastle do this for a couple of games. They'll tail off. Mm. They just kept staying there. And I think after Christmas was when everyone started to think, hold on,
It's when the Vardy party started.
Yeah. When the Vardy party stuff started, it was like, hey, these men are actually serious. Yep. And I remember, I think they played us in the FA Cup and knocked us out that year. Or I can't remember, they played us in one of the cups, I remember. And I just thought, nah, these were actually, there's something about their character. There was the back three, they had Wes Morgan, Robert Huth, and Vasilevsky, Fuchs as well. Yeah. Bro, they had a team you just thought were a bunch of rejects basically just banded together. Mm. But some way, somehow, they did it. And
listen,
bruv, as you said, one of the best stories
in the Vardy party is one of the biggest
unbelievable
city to city raves since Bigger Fish, bruv. Then he was going insane. What, coming to your stadium, that's a goal. Mm. Coming to your stadium, that's a goal. I can't remember what team it is. You know the finish where the ball comes over the top? Yeah,
Liverpool.
Is it Liverpool, that one?
Lashes.
I said yeah, this guy's going crazy, bruv.
Wait, you're talking about the left foot volley, you're talking about
the right foot one
far.
Liverpool. I said, yeah, this guy's going crazy.
Bro, the guy. And then he was slaying Man City. Then he was slaying United, slaying Liverpool. Hey, he was only teams that Liverpool, Arsenal had done the double over them.
Yeah.
But Leicester, including the story of Vardy, including the story of Kante, including the story of Mahrez, it was including how you mentioned the rejects or whatever. Mm. It was just so mad. And then with all of this, what about the story of Vanieri himself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He probably a little bit feels that he never should have got sacked from Chelsea.
100%.
He probably has a little bit of a sour taste. Took them to the semi-final and they got rid of him.
So
and he go and win the Premier League with Leicester. Aye, and so you know what? Chelsea finished 10th that season. Yeah. He's like, Addy, hey, thank you. Man had his little choir moment, that brother that he brought down. Honestly, it was an amazing story, and that is definitely one of the best moments.
100%.
Funny. But I do think that was a embarrassing moment for the Premier as well, though. You just can't come here, man.
Oh, like it was an
5,000-1
rest of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Everyone that season fumbled it.
That was a cook's
face. It was
But we can't use that to also discredit Leicester. 100%.
Because that was still. That was 15, 16, isn't it?
Yeah, 15, 16, cool.
The next, that's when Jose came to us and then
came.
But
they had to be like, levels need to get.
Yeah.
We have to give.
Came further. Yo.
Not honorable mention, but ultimately, as you mentioned, one and done. Blackburn, no.
Yeah, they were kind of the first
money.
One and done.
They had money, but they were the first one and done. They were the first one and done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The next one, I think you as the leader, you was the leader of the bus at one point. Even though this is my guy as well, you're the leader of the bus.
He's been everyone. I think he's one of them guys that's touched everyone.
He's touched everybody,
Stuff is signed TV.
He's
been through all three clubs.
Yeah, literally.
Jose Mourinho, bro.
Yeah, the arrival
of the special one.
Literally, he is the special one, as he said when he came in. When he came back, he said he was
I'm not one of the bustle.
When he came the second one, I'm the happy one.
That was it. But for me, he's just a man who, no matter what, when he was in the Premier League, he made his mark. And I think early on, I have to give him that credit of breaking up that Arsenal United duopoly, basically.
He went toe to toe. People talk about top
sixes now, top sevens, top fours. Before top four was even a thing, there was one and two. Locked every year, and he came in, and what he did for 2 years with that best defensive record, the mentality he set, the siege mentality as well, was like, and I feel like managers had to develop personalities and character after he came. Before that, you could just come, do your little banks of 4-4-2, give your little 2 minutes after the game and you're off. After that, it became a whole different animal. And I think for me, one of my favorite managers, even though he was better at like other clubs. Mm-hmm. I've always appreciated Jose for what he is.
For me, like, it's like, I always respect when someone can come in and shake the table. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about Premier League defining moments. I can't imagine, and we know that managers talk and whatnot. I cannot imagine the conversation between Ferguson and Wenger when they thought, right, we got to deal with my man, you know? He's causing a muckus over here.
Right, he made Fergie and Wenger swash their beef. They
started to beef him. Now, we got to beef your enemies.
Postcodes linked up just to beef us. That's what it was. Postcodes were linking up to beef Jose. Bro, it was.
And do you know one thing I got to say as well is, tactically, I think what he brought at that
Christmas
time as
tree
well,
formation.
The one up top wasn't a very common thing. It was still a two up front.
Yeah. He changed
and
football.
Him bringing Drogba in, changing it around.
Christmas tree formation.
It was more than just a
holding midfielder
and personality.
It's the way he did it as well, in terms of he didn't come to be nobody's friend. Okay, he did always like Fergie. He always used to praise Fergie. Oh, yeah. Fergie the must. I'm going to bring him wine.
But he was on war.
He knew. He came and said, all right, who's the top dog? All right, it's Fergie. I'm going to be your boy. Mm. Who's the next? Wenger. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And he did not let that. Bro, he was on Wenger from the jar. And the thing is, it was so funny though. You go back to the Porto season when they knocked us out.
Yeah.
He dissed Fergie. He's always complaining, but just tell him that, hold that. Then he came in like, oh, I love you.
But do you know
sir, I only call him sir. You know, I call him Mr. Ferg.
There's like, a saying and it says, the enemy of that, my enemy is my best friend. Yeah. He literally said, right, you know what? Nah, you? I'm going to have to war you. Yeah.
It's the way he did it, man. It was box office. And for me, he's the biggest manager of all time. Like in terms of, obviously Fergie's great, Pep is great. But in terms of profile, this guy now popping up in Stormzy videos and stuff. Like, everyone's mum fancy Jose Mourinho once upon a time as well. Like, bro, I'm telling you, it's the way he did it. It was just box office, bro. You had to watch every presser. As you mentioned, we used to get, Fergie used to have his rants every now and again. But bro, like, you wanted to watch every single thing Jose said. Remember when they asked him about
the buzzer?
They say they say that you don't play like attractive football. They say Arsenal play. Yeah, okay, where are Arsenal on the table? And where are Chelsea on the table? I think he said something like 10 points. 10 points. They asked him like, so every single time he'll have a response. Do we play good football? Well, I'm 10 points clear. They're talking about the Barcelona, I'm just going to name their damn lineup. He had so many different things. He'll rattle the officials. Man, Jose, the way he just came in and shook that.
He was ahead of his time. So many ways, obviously the media we do is very different. But in terms of like sports journalism, broadcasting media, he made that exciting because he wasn't going just to the formation. You're going because I want sound bites. Yeah.
He was most hated at one point as well. The journalists loved and hated him. There was a campaign against him.
Life cycle of Jose literally, was that basically. It starts off loving, and if you don't hate him within 3 years,
then there's something. Yeah.
Literally, man.
But no, at number five, the rival of Jose Mourinho. At number four, this is something that's related, but I think ultimately, this is not just pivotal moment in Premier League. Pivotal moment in football. This man literally looked at the lay of the land and thought, I want in here.
Mm.
Put his money down, and football has changed ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Mr. Roman, pay and don't speak. Roman Abramovich came in, looked at the Premier League, said, I want a London club. Spurs, I don't like the look of that high road. Chelsea, this area looks nice. And then everything after that, without Roman, you don't get a City takeover, you don't get a Newcastle owner, you don't get people realizing that, you don't get all the foreign takeovers at different levels, you don't get people realizing that, hold on, does my chairman actually care about football, or am I just some thing on the side? Even if you look at commercialization, like you're seeing that the Samsung deals, Chelsea get this money, that money, everyone's like, what's going on here?
Mm.
This guy literally came in and said, football can be more. It doesn't have to be local. It doesn't have to be this small thing. You can dream big. You can disturb the league. Mm. People say, yeah, he splashed his cash, but he did it, and he did it with football information behind it. Mm. It's not like he just came and started throwing money anyway. He brought in the right people, and he was actually involved in his club.
Mm.
You typically saw it from smaller clubs where they don't have much, and the chairman's like, yo, no, I love it, I love it. You know, what's the name of the woman from Norwich? Let's be having you.
Delia Smith.
You're used to seeing it from that, but this guy was literally in the box before they ran him out of the country. This is my club. We're going to take over. the Jose element of it from the playing perspective is very important, but from the actual takeover and infrastructure, a man turned a nearly club into a dynasty.
Yeah, I think it's a lot about when you touched on the Newcastle, the City. I think a lot of it, to differentiate from the Jose thing, it's the way, like, look, Roma was the first foreign takeover in the Premier League, like full takeover of a club, first foreigner to come into the league. And you're looking at a Premier League that at that particular moment, the Prem was a great league, you know, but it hadn't reached it. It was still behind the Serie A. It was still behind the La Liga, like the way it was viewed, right? The Prem had the money and stuff like that. It started getting the viewership. But it's when Roman came into the league, Chelsea improved,
swing.
The whole Premier League revolutionized, bro.
Yeah.
It became the most watched league in the world. Mm. It became the toughest seen league in the world, most competitive. Everything was about the Premier League. And yeah, exactly. And that stems from when Roman Abramovich came. And then from there, then it's like, Glazers, all right, Gillette and Hicks, this, everyone now start. And now if you look at the Premier League, bro, I think you've got like two, three English owners.
Yeah.
Before it was British all through. Roman come through and now you barely get any British ownership. Like, what, you got, I think even Everton even got that no more. I think they have a little bit share, but
the Russian,
it's mad. The impact that he made on ownership in the Premier League is revolutionary.
Different class. No, shout out to him. Let's go top three now. This is where it got really interesting. We had a few back and forth, but we've mentioned this gentleman already, but it's sort of what he achieved. There's no way we can have a conversation and not talk about the Invincibles, but we need to broaden it out. It's not just the Invincibles, it's the impact of Wenger to the Invincibles. I think in terms of a moment within Premier League history, insane. Yeah, would the Invincibles ever be done again?
I don't know, man. I think yes, it will be done again, but I don't know when. In the Premier League, I don't think it's an impossible feat. It's been done. And I think even if you look at Serie A, other leagues, it's shown it can be done in football, in all honesty. But it is a feat that, bruv, it's once in a lifetime you do it. And I think that the reason why you have to give so much credit for it is it doesn't just start in 03, 04. I feel like it starts with the appointment of Wenger. Because Wenger was such a, at the time, revolutionary manager. I think the way he came and changed in training sessions, diets, no the culture smoking. Of the club, no more smoking, no drinking,
no more ketchup,
mental health. And like, there were so many things where he was so far ahead that by the time, and you got to remember, this is now like 7-8 years of competing with United back and forth. He'd done a league, he'd done a cup double. Now it was kind of the crescendo of it all, you almost felt like, and the football they were playing. The fact that they were beating every top side. I think that season they lost in the semi-final of the Champions League.
Yeah, like, Wembridge.
I think that's the one thing maybe you can kind of look at Champions League, maybe they should have done better. But for the fact that it was the golden year, and listen, as a Spurs fan, even I have to respect it, bro. Mm-hmm. That is one of the, best achievements in Premier League history, you have to say.
There was some, I'm sure there was like a newspaper article when he got appointed, because you got to remember, he came from Japan.
Yeah.
Wenger came from Japan. There was like Arsene who?
Yeah.
It was something like the Arsene who, and nobody knew what to expect. He walked into a camp of Ian Wright, Tony Adams, Steve Bold, Keown, all these guys.
Who was the manager before again?
George Graham.
There was that one against the Arsenal as well. Yeah. They played very specific,
real men who, come on, Tony Adams used to play drunk. You know what I mean? He used to go end up in prison sometimes, in jail, come to the game, blah, blah. So then you get some professor come in telling you all this, that you can't do that. It was the fact that he had to do all of that and then end up forming a team in his image at that point to the Invincibles, to being a team that are going unbeaten in the Premier League.
Think of it,
something special.
Guys like Vieira,
and
Risk, young gem, nobody really knows
from Milan.
The Henry
Bergkamp was a flop at Inter Milan. Yeah, big money signing. The Henry move,
the flop at
Juve. Anelka. And it was like all these guys who had fallen off from other places, but who he thought, it's my vision.
Managerial cultures,
foreign managerial influences, if you like, really became a thing in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Because before that, it was just a British league, let's be honest.
Kevin Keegan's. But
all of those. He was the first, like, you know, bringing out va-va-voom, if you like. So,
je ne sais quoi. And even to the point we were saying before about when you looked at the...
It's so funny he said that. He hasn't said that word since we was last in here.
That's a great recall, you know.
They're so good at
it. They're so quiet.
Even when you spoke about with United before,
yeah,
the Fergie way of doing it was very like local scouting, sort of Ireland, Scotland, yeah, UK. This guy said, okay, you've got a monopoly of what you're doing here. All right, cool. I've been studying abroad. Like, there's stuff you haven't seen. And in many ways, that kind of influenced what Fergie then started going to do with his signings a little bit and everything as well. So like, I just respect it because, yeah, we wouldn't see what we see today without that moment there. So
it was revolutionary. But touching just back on the Invincibles, I think Invincibles were the first team. Of course, Man United played great attacking football. It was end to end and box office. But there was something different about the way the Invincibles played. They used to be able to tippy-tap it if they need to. Their football was brilliant. Physical and then they'll fight you. And then let's keep it 100. Arsenal were really the most hated as well at that period. Like, because they were seen as French whiners. That's what they were seen as. Perez will dive. Oh, I'm on the floor. Mm. They were like, oh, holding their face. They were doing all that type of stuff. And bro, the English people hated it, bro. Yeah. Everyone hated what Arsenal were doing. So the fact that they went on to be unbeaten. And I remember one game, flipping scums. Not all the Van Nistelrooy moment. That was obviously iconic. Yeah. That could have even made this list.
I was going to say.
But it's the... That really could have made this list. But it was the Perez versus Portsmouth when he died.
I know what he wrote.
Last minute or something like that. It was the first... It was a revolutionary dive. You know dives here? You act like you don't get contact. He put the
contact.
Put his
leg behind.
And then they scored the penalty and kept the invincible record. I was just like, these men are...
Sly.
Still slimy. Yeah, but they did their thing. They shook the league. And honestly, what a team. They had just come off the double two seasons before as well. So, and that season, Wenger said, we can go unbeaten.
I remember.
And they didn't. And was it that season or was it the 2003 season?
It was not. It was that season, because I remember as well, when the invincible thing happened, it wasn't a thing of like, Wenger had spoken this into existence. And I remember thinking,
They can't do it.
What are they talking about? Yeah. And as that season was just happening and happening,
you're like, whoa.
I don't think anyone could be. And especially when they got you lot as well, I was like,
bro. I'm happy you got them in Champions League.
You had to be the ones to end it.
Oh, we do it all the time with everyone. We always end everyone's record. But you know what, that time as well, one thing that I don't like that we're doing in the modern day now as well is we're looking at it and saying, oh, 12 draws or whatever. I promise you, nobody living in the moment was talking about that. If you were living in the moment, we were like, what are we witnessing? This is fake.
Mm.
Now people have gone back and, you know, we've seen big point tallies now and we're like, oh, 12 draws. The reason why I call this the best feat in Premier League history is because no matter what, you will never sit on a higher table than being unbeaten.
Mm.
You can't. Another team can go unbeaten.
Yeah.
Exactly. Another team can go unbeaten, but you're sitting with Arsenal.
Mm.
Another team can go and get 101 points. Centurions, we don't remember anymore. No matter what, Invincibles cannot be topped.
Mm.
Unless, okay, you go and do 60 games
Centurion
unbeaten.
Oh, you win every single game.
But I mean unbeaten season.
Yeah, you can't.
You can only sit on the table with Arsenal. Yeah. Arsenal are waiting for another team to join them.
Yeah.
They will never be knocked off it.
Yeah.
Nice. So number three, Invincibles / Wenger influence. This one for me, arguably could have been not.
I think ultimately
this moment,
I'm even thinking last in it.
On the real. No, I'm with it. Cause on the real, this, you understand?
You know what? I'll give you, because we've spoken so much about managers, I'll allow the first one.
Because honestly, this, there's not many things that can find this. You need to talk about this. Yeah.
I was there.
Oh, you were.
I was at his final home game. Listen. Baba Fergs, grandfather Fergs. Listen, man, his retirement, that is a defining moment of the Premier League. I mean,
I'm spawning.
You think about what this guy has done in this league. He is Mr. Premier League, straight, been there from 92. You know what I mean? The origins, been there. And the fact that he just went and dominated 13 Premier Leagues, of course, he walked into Man United with seven trophies. Man United has seven trophies, seven league titles. Liverpool had 18. He walked in there and said, I'm going to knock Liverpool off their perch. He left with 20. Liverpool had 18. What?
Crazy.
What?
Actually so nuts.
Bro, that is the bullying of a lifetime, bro. What Alex Ferguson done to not only your childhood, well, you were kind of the acute club at the time, but Arsenal's fan childhood, Liverpool fans, he just came and ruined so many lives, bro. And he is, as I said, Mr. Premier League. People say, oh, he bought the referees, whatever you want to say. Whether they like it or not, the league feared this man, bro. They feared this man. He made us the most... Even when he picked us up, we were not the biggest club in the world. We left arguably the biggest club in the world in terms of fan base and all this type of stuff, money, what we represented. It started from this man, you know what I mean? Class of 92, so many things. And it's funny, you will never see a manager in charge of a club again for 26 years. Mm-hmm. You will not see that. Let me tell you that for free. And then the retirement aspect of it, it's like, it's finally over. We know what happened the year before. We know how many times he had to revamp this team. He made about 4 or 5 squads. Then you look at Man United post Ferguson.
God damn.
I think that's why the retirement this bit is so, yeah.
Is a defining moment, because I vividly remember I was at the game when he was telling us, believe in this guy. He's a criminal
back
for that.
Man.
Fergie,
stand by your man. Yeah.
Fergie's a criminal for that. But I remember Scholes retired that day as well. It was just some emotional day. We lift the title, amazing. But then to leave with a title as well, amazing. But it's what Man United as well have gone on. We still have not even had a title race since, a real title race. We've finished second twice, but we've never had a real title race. We haven't won a major trophy in terms of like, we've won an FA Cup, but we haven't won a Premier League. We haven't won a Champions League. We haven't even come close to those in the time that he's gone. He took us from the heights we never imagined to the lows. Him leaving has hit the lows. Ralf Rangnick has hit the lows we've never imagined. It's so crazy. Yeah. He is the symbol of Man United. And I always say, you know, when they talk about the United DNA and stuff, you might as well just say the Fergie DNA. Mm. He's 70% of our trophies. He's 70% of our trophies in our history.
Mm. That's actually so true.
When you talk about the when you talk about
DNA,
United, when you
DNA,
talk about,
like, well, to be fair, the Busby babes and stuff were their ways, but hey, respect the Busby,
and the reason why this has got me so,
I like you.
You know, when we speak about the Wenger stuff and the influence and whatnot, that was in like a short time frame, but it was significant. What Fergie, it's insane. The infrastructure. And you can, with the whole sort of death of Man United, nothing happened afterwards within the building. It's like he left and he took everything with him.
Yeah.
It's like, so when he was there for 20 years, was you not taking notes? Was you not putting this stuff on the hard drive?
Left as well.
Bro, a man had everything in here. Do you know how mad it is?
It's like, you know, when someone's got the keys.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? He's in charge.
Yeah.
You almost don't expect him to ever leave.
Exactly. And it took them. But the thing is, he was going to leave before.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what, I'll give you guys a little bit more.
Man was going to leave in 2002.
Bro,
he was definitely pump fake.
They should have been, bro.
2002 to end up in
four retirements, bro. Yeah, I'm sure.
We were about to get Sven Goran Eriksson.
You guys should have downloaded. They should have downloaded information.
About Lazio.
Do you know what's so mad about it as well, yeah? Imagine in this modern era, yeah, the biggest broadcaster and the manager says,
nah,
I'm not talking to you.
What? For how many years? For like a decade.
Over a decade. Like. Match of the day was, you see Carlos Queiroz. That's the first assistant we used to get familiar with.
We used to
get familiar with these ball scenes and that, because he wouldn't talk to them. Like I think he got fined every single time.
Yeah, I think so.
It's insane. And you know what? Yeah, the Premier League, the institution it is now, the global phenomenon it is now, we've got a lot of it to thank
to hear that
Alex Ferguson holding this league down, bro.
No,
you know what I mean, to this moment. So
100%. No, it's just the reason why the retirement has to be there is because, as you said, yeah, if you're going by Premier League moments, a lot of moments will be about United.
Mm-hmm.
Because United are this institution of Premier League, and that becomes.
And we tried to limit it.
We had to limit how many, and that comes from him and everything he stood for and everything he built. So his retirement was one of those moments where, the commentator said, I swear you'll never see anything like this again. You will not see that in football. Mm. You'll not see a manager at the helm and be the pinnacle, the rock that a club's built on. Nah, man. No, respect to it, man. Man. That guy, he was the guy. Alas, number one.
We are here. Number one.
It can only be the
single greatest moment in Premier League history. Without the background stories, without the influence of what, actually the influence was big as well, but the single greatest moment, and it had to be at my expense, of course, but it has to be Sergio Aguero. The commentary. I'll never see ever. What was it?
Yeah, I swear you will never see anything like this ever again. But you know what's so mad as well? Balotelli's only assist.
Only assist. In his everything was fake that day, bro. So first and foremost, why are QPR 2-1 up? Who knows?
Fake.
They stayed up. Why are they 2-1 up? They got the bird call. We're up. They said, all right, cool. All right. Capitulation time. You know what I mean? But special shout out to Zeko.
Dribble Cisse.
We're going to talk about that. He's the most... listen. Dribble Cisse, nasty guy. But Zeko, big goal as well. To even the header to believe. But that moment... Bro, people need to look at it again, yeah? How did Aguero not even go down? Taiwo... Yeah. Literally collapsed his ankle. His ankle was curved like Neymar's and that. And he still rifled it in. Something was, a higher spirit had just taken over. And that was his first season in the league. Wow, man. Like that, bro, the 93-12.
It's such a crowning moment as well. And they lost the year before to you guys where Fergie's final year, wasn't it? So it was almost like you could see City were building as well. And I always felt like when that Aguero signing was made, it was like, all right, you'd got Tevez, you'd got Yaya Toure, you'd got Silva. This is now the goal. You know, Thanos' final activation. And that goal coming in that kind of manner. I don't think you'd seen anything more kind of dramatic like that in Premier League for that moment.
And then
I can't remember.
Boom. Delivered in that kind of manner as well. Oh.
Lescott came on.
As a neutral, it's you even just got to sit back and goosebumps. Be like,
Lescott came on. And we were talking about the whole thing, right? And we were saying that, would you prefer to walk the league or win in that moment? And he was saying that a lot of those boys and everything still don't watch it back.
Because it's just a mad.
They just don't watch it back because it was too much emotion. Yeah. It's too much emotion to watch back.
From Lescott as well. Look at the mistake he made.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
madman.
But hold tight, Lescott. But he says that they struggled to watch it back because it was like it just took so much out of.
And even when I did the preview to the Champions League final with Michael Richards, and he spoke about that moment as well, and he said it was when they beat Man City. Of course, I mean when they beat us 6-1, they went to change room and said, "Rah, we can do this." You know, I mean, obviously they were, alarm bells were ringing when we had to win last minute with Owen and Tevez was around and it started getting a bit, you know what I mean? But that moment was like, okay, we can compete. But then Man United, 4 games to go, 8 points clear, I believe it was. And then Fellaini happened, then Kompany happened. And then this moment happened. That it's just something that is just so unbelievable for them that they will never ever probably. And it's crazy because City nearly tried to top that with the Gundogan last season. Don't know what these guys like these moments that could have potentially made it. That's an honorable mention. But yeah, man, the Aguero moment, everyone knows about it. Everyone has spoken about it, I'm sure, numerous times. The commentary, the vibes, the fact that they are now the most dominant team of the decade.
Yeah.
The fact that he is arguably the best player of the decade, maybe people, him or Hazard or Silva.
And even when you think about like an advert for the Premier League, if you try and put one together, that is going to be the final real piece you slide in
off.
There. Top off Aguero running. Winning the Premier League.
Didn't get booked for that as well.
Last minute goal,
Booking.
The ref
probably wanted to run with him. I would not have blamed the ref if he was that.
Dribble Cisse.
Yo, Mike Riley used to do stuff like that, you know what I'm saying?
Dribble Cisse, because a lot of people may not be aware of where he's
at. Slime ball.
This is the part though. This is the down part. Why am I seeing Cisse and Nazri shubs in together on the pitch? Now that's bad, bro. I know you man stayed, and the worst thing is, at the time I was affiliated with QPR. Yeah. I was like, I had a mad mix of emotions. I'm like, I'm pro QPR, pro United, and then I'm seeing Cisse ball it, bro. I'm like, nah, this is. And then the part after the thing, Joe Hart had the ball, no one pressing.
Yeah.
Joe Hart just waiting for he had the ball, and everyone just waiting for the whistle to blow. He just waiting, no one going to press. Then he just kicks the ball in the sky, then the whistle blows. Nasty.
But you know the funniest part for me?
Tony Fernandez. I need to see his money.
It's like, you know when they do the cut screen to. Because you guys were at Sunderland, was it?
Yeah, yeah. And then Rooney, Phil Jones is like this. But it's the way Fergie though. It's the way Fergie's reaction was just kind of like, let's go. You know what I mean? And in the change room, he said, "Remember this feeling."
Yeah.
Remember this feeling. And obviously,
then spun the block.
Yeah, but
that moment has to be
Mancini running around, not knowing where to put his hands.
Was it 93 minutes and 20 seconds?
Any fan that's in that stadium Euphoria. Big Steve must have been
going.
He must have been there. Yeah. He ever spoken about that?
I think 100%. Yeah,
I've never heard Big Steve actually mention that date.
Absolute euphoria.
I'm sure he has.
I'm
sure
he has. I need to ask him about that, man. That is euphoric.
But we've got some honorable mentions.
Let's run down the list quickly again.
So number 10, we've got COVID era / bubble era football. 9, we've got the Gerrard slip. At number 8, we've got the class of 92. At 7, we've got Pep's arrival. 6, Leicester winning the league. 5, Jose Mourinho's arrival. 4, Roman Abramovich coming into the league. 3, the Invincibles and the influence of Wenger. 2, Fergie's retirement. And number 1, Sergio Aguero's miracle goal.
I think those
goal.
Are good ones, man. Mm. That's I think those good ones. Obviously, let's run out of time, but...
Let's quickly, honourable mentions as well, just moments that we liked. West Ham and Tevez, their legal signing that subsequently ended up in Sheffield United.
That was crazy, man. They were lit on Football Manager them years.
Yeah.
Being a manager of West Ham on Football Manager Mascherano with Tevez and Mascherano was
Mascherano
lit.
Gets mixed up,
and they always used to have the, they used to be in like blue.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah.
So, that was a moment. Lasagna Gate.
Lasagna Gate was crazy, man. Like, for us wanting to get Champions League, thinking we're nearly there, and then whole club goes down, so and then Arsenal go.
You guys got shagged there. Like, that was a curse, man.
Arsenal, they've been involved in a few food stuff because they had Pizzagate with you lot as well, wouldn't it?
Don't men, man.
Pizzagate's honorable mention.
I think Sol Campbell's Judas moment to Spurs.
Have you heard the story behind that?
Not
so obviously David Dean and Wenger did this.
I heard it actually. He spoke to Gary Neville and like they do like a soccer goggle.
Yeah, so they did a talk where him and Wenger talk about, and literally they had Sol Campbell in their house in David Dean's house, and he was bare like, they had to sneak him in, and then he was bare like, I'm not too sure. And he's like, listen, do you want to win? Do you want to be a winner and whatnot? And in the early hours they had to do that, and then they had to sneak him to the training ground. Because people thought he was going to train, so he followed another car, and then they unveiled him.
And that's the thing. Like, the worst thing about it is that, like, he speaks about, he just wants to win, man.
Yeah,
at the time, he didn't know what direction Spurs were going in. Mm. You know what I mean? He thought there was a period where you guys could have competed, like, for the Premier League. Mm. And then there was a point.
23 years later, we're still in the same position.
He thought you could have competed. And then he said that he saw the signings that other clubs are making. And he said, no disrespect to the players that you, man, were signing, but
Darren Everton and their money were feeling.
He had to get up out of it. I think
Rooney's got at 16.
Yeah, Rooney's moment at 16. I think that was amazing, man. Remember the name Wayne Rooney to then go on and be England's all-time scorer, Man United's all-time scorer, 200 in the Premier League.
Patrick.
He became a hero for life. Yeah, I think that was just a moment. How a 16-year-old boy bringing the ball down from the sky against Arsenal's champions. It was the two champions of that period. Rifling it, top corner, not even top corner. It was in a little bit in the middle, posting in. Oh man, imagine being 16 and doing that. 16! We hear about sensations, 19, 18, 16! Yeah. He rode his bike home.
Yeah.
He rode his bike home. He cycled home.
That's too funny.
You know that game, Buddy, on PlayStation?
I see it on Facebook.
Yeah. Wayne, I got to get home, man. Got to get back to a Bolognese. I got Bolognese home.
I was going
to
say, you probably went to school the next day.
Bolognese.
Wayne won't go to school, having bro.
Dinosaurs, man.
Imagine college the next day.
But he won't go to school, fam. Remember, he said he used to go.
Come on, mate. He's going to college.
He used to go to Manchester to get to
Rooney was on that Mike Tyson. That man were men at 12.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah. But he literally said, I was going for punch ups in Manchester at the age of 14. No, that's what I did. The lead boy on Boya.
He's a good boy fight, innit? Yeah.
Bro, that fight was...
that was classic.
Why are we seeing two players fighting?
Bro, I remember that Newcastle team was so funny as well, man. Mm-hmm. It was such a weird
Was Genius
time.
In that team?
Yeah, Genius, Dyer and all that. But that was like the end of the Bobby Robson era,
and that was
like the capitulation.
That was like, I think Sierra had one.
That was Northern Rock, innit?
Yeah, Northern Rock, last days, Glenn Robson.
Baggy kit days, man.
Ronaldo Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, Roy Keane Vieira. Yeah. Roy Keane Vieira, that could have made this. That was a defining, that defined the rivalry of the Premier League, what I mean? And just Fergie Wenger. It was just like it was just a perfect representation of both of them at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even the fact that Wenger's tall and Vieira's tall and Fergie's a bit shorter.
Short, angry guys of an accent.
It was like they found perfect. Their men. It was perfect, man. It was perfect.
The David Beckham moment as well, like that was like superstardom. Mm. Like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, now you're seeing
Which one? There's so many David Beckham moments.
I think the halfway line
was special. That was him announcing himself.
Right.
But just his moment of being this superstar was like, now we're seeing every single baller do like a fashion shoot and whatnot. This guy was like the pin. He was managing the Spice Girls and playing football at a higher level, bro. Yeah, this guy, bro, he was their manager.
He wasn't.
No, he was. Go and check. He was like a manager of Spice Girls. I'm telling you now. I'll show you after. He was a manager of Spice Girls, bro.
Victoria ain't taking bookings. I've got a game.
Gone up.
Yeah, there's so many, but
there's been a lot. But I think the temperature.
They're gonna have
in the comments, please.
Let us know. Compile your 10. Let us know on Twitter as well when this comes out. Compile your 10.
And don't only say honorable mentions as well. Say your actual list. Sometimes people just be throwing it. It makes it look like you're chatting shit in the video. Like, what about it? It's like sometimes say your list and give honorable mention as well.
But listen, you already know what to do. Like, share, subscribe. If there's any more topics you want us to discuss, let us know in the comments, man. We might have something cooking for you soon.